Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
It's another beautiful day here in Washington, D.C., except it's not. It was beautiful when we got here earlier today and the land of fruits and nuts. You think it's out in California. You are wrong. The land of fruits and nuts is right here in Washington, D.C., and not just because I'm here, but also because Jeff Kelly is here, who works with the Truth Radio Network in North Carolina. And then my friend Steve Lewis is here, I think he's up to about 22 children and counting. And now that you're here at the Museum of the Bible today, do you feel inspired to fill the earth even more? Or are you done at 12?
You're looking at me?
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
I don't have 12 kids. I don't know.
Anyway, I'm glad you guys came up here with me. Back at the Museum of the Bible, for those of you on Facebook Live, we're in the radio and TV studios that they partnered with K-Love and set up a beautiful studio here. So I'm going to be up here once a month. We were going to be here last month in January, except it snowed in North Carolina. When it snows in North Carolina, particularly in Raleigh, North Carolina, it's pretty much snowmageddon. Everything shuts down, so I couldn't get up here. But up here today and excited to be back at the Museum of the Bible. We're slotted to be up here once a month. And it's really cool to come up here with people that have never seen it before, experiencing it for the first time, and a couple of good friends and believers as well. Steve Lewis, who you guys know as my financial friend, and we used to do Money Mondays together, and he was just on recently. And then Jeff Kelly, most of you don't know, but Jeff works with the Truth Radio Network in North Carolina and also right there in Raleigh. So we got up at dark 30 today and drove up here. And so you guys, what was your impression before you even came here? I mean, all right, I'll start with you, Steve, because you're older. This always goes this way. All right. So what did you think you were going to encounter at Museum of the Bible? What were your thoughts before you ever got here? What had you heard? What were your expectations? And then we'll talk about what you've experienced. But Steve, you're first.
Well, just a typical museum. You know, you walk around and it cures insomnia. Right. I mean, that's what I was expecting when I got here. I heard of things. I heard of what your experience was. I've heard of others. And I think Fox,
yeah,
and Friends, I think did a thing here.
They did a thing, yeah.
And so it was fantastic. It was completely overwhelming. I think every seminary student needs to come here.
Yeah, well, you've spent some time at Moody Bible College. So why particularly seminary students? Why do you think they?
Well,
need
the
to
history.
Be here?
You don't get everything in Bible College.
Yeah,
you don't. I mean, it's. Yeah, you know, some of these you know institutions slant one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's good to go through this stuff and get a good context. See things you've read about.
Yep.
Right? The Gutenberg Bible, Oxford, you know, and William Bradford's Bible.
Incredible. Yeah.
Down
amazing,
there.
Isn't it?
I mean, it's stuff we heard about.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it.
It's
really fantastic.
It is mind-boggling. And Jeff, you're also a pastor yourself. Been around, went to Bob Jones University. We won't hold that against you. And I'm glad to see your top button is undone today. I'm glad to see your
no tie.
Loosening
no tie.
Up the bondage. You're free in Christ. That's awesome.
I'm going to feel guilty, though. No,
I'm going to get some Bob Jones calls after this.
I didn't know you were a pastor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a pastor. Couldn't you?
Man.
Come on.
Yeah.
We drove the car for 4 hours.
He sits in the back of my car making noise all the way up here for 4 hours. He's a pastor?
He was reading and studying. You didn't notice that because you were asleep.
Is that part of Bob Jones' requirement, is being rude in the back seat of my car?
It's the rule book. We have to memorize it.
Yes, okay. You need a new rule book.
That's funny. Okay, all right. Now, Steve, be quiet. Jeff, what were you thinking before you came up
here? Well, what I thought was I was going to see a lot of Bible manuscripts. And obviously, you know, it's the Bible Museum. You expect to see fragments and papyri and all that stuff. But what I didn't expect was the incredible technological advancement that they put and married in with the Bibles themselves. So you get to walk through the actual Bible.
Digital content is mind-boggling.
It's crazy. It's crazy. There are exhibits where you actually walk through the story of the Bible and you experience it.
We did that with the Old Testament.
Incredible.
I've never experienced anything like that before.
No, you get to walk through, and I don't want to kill it for anybody, but you get to walk through the rainbow Which, when you walk through, you know what it's like. It's
And then at the very beginning, when all of a sudden, they have great, all the technological stuff is great. The movies are all great. The production's great.
Incredible.
But that voice, it goes dark. You know, we're right at the beginning of Genesis, and then Let There Be Light. That was the brightest, shocking light experience I think I've ever had.
I expected the light to come on as soon as he said, Let There Be Light. And then you were kind of like, it was still dark. And all of a sudden,
and then
boom.
Whammo. Yeah, then you just get hammered with it.
This is Disney World for Bible lovers.
I think that's exactly right.
It is.
Now, Steve,
it's incredible.
What would you think? I mean, Disney World for people that love the Bible or just curious people, but I think it's at that level. Do you?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
There's an actual ride in this building.
Right. You're right. By the way, museumofthebible.org, we're broadcasting from the fifth floor today. Don't eat lunch before you go on the ride. And now, how would you guys describe that ride? If you've ever been to Disney, ever been to Epcot, and Soaring is a ride down there that it's like you're in a hang glider and you're flying all over the place with kind of an IMAX kind of big screen in front of you.
Yeah, the wind's blowing against you. And
you actually feel the wind.
And some water filling.
And some water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you're flying around.
I thought you were spitting at me.
No, it was the bird droppings that got me.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was so authentic.
Oh, great.
All right, so what's the purpose of the ride? As we were on this kind of virtual ride, where did we go?
It was amazing. We've heard from other important people in Washington that this town has no biblical history. And this ride really opened my eyes to more than what I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, scripture is inscribed on everything.
It's all over the place.
And you don't hear it from the mainstream media.
No.
It's not existent. It is phenomenal what we see on the monuments and the Congressional Hall, everything. It's out there.
The Capitol building, the White House. They were going to specific monuments in parks.
Yeah.
And showing
all over the place.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Including the National Cemetery at Arlington. So you're over to a couple places there. The top of the Washington Monument, the Library of Congress, the Rotunda itself. It's all over the place. And this is one of those rides where, you know, it gets your attention. I sat there in the front row because I was willing to. And you're sitting, I'm kind of going, okay, I'm getting a little dizzy here.
Yeah.
Because you're flying all over D.C.
You did feel that way.
I got a little motion action.
My kids would love this place. Obviously, we're here alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring my family back.
Yeah,
they're going to love it.
They will.
But not just that ride. I mean, the whole thing
is incredible. Yeah. And again, all the different aspects of it. There's the impact floor, which we really didn't spend a lot of time on. We'll have to do that next time.
Yeah.
The history floor, and then the Old Testament, New Testament floor. Now you guys went in one of the kind of the temporary exhibits, which was the Stations of the Cross. Did you guys do that?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing about this museum, that whether you're Jewish or Catholic or Protestant or whatever, there's really... It's kind of, I don't want to use the word open-minded, but I don't know. How would you guys describe it? I wouldn't necessarily say it's ecumenical either. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
Definitely the authority of Scripture, but I don't know where that fits.
In my mind, literal.
Oh, absolutely. Literal interpretation and translation of the Bible. We're talking to Jeff and Kelly. We got a couple other special guests right here from the Museum of the Bible. When we come back, the next couple segments, we're live from D.C. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We're here live at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. with a great explanation of why I enjoyed my lunch so much today, because Ellen's here, and Ellen and her husband, what's your husband's name?
Todd Gray.
Come on all the way up to the microphone. Ellen and Todd run the Manna restaurant here at the Museum of the Bible, which was absolutely fabulous. I think two of us had the brand new kebab.
Oh, that's a special today.
So that was, that had
not even on the menu
lamb,
yet.
It had sausage.
Yep.
And then it had this really interesting, what was the relish? It was a cold kind of
like
Middle Eastern.
Sweet pepper jelly relish.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. They're playing in the kitchen now. Now that we've been open for 90 days, they're starting to play now. They got through the basics of opening, and now you'll see more specials and things like that.
Super cool. So how did you guys, you married a chef, and were you a culinary person yourself first, or how did that all come together?
I came from Wall Street area.
You did?
I was more on the business side. I still am more on the business side. I did not go to culinary school like my husband did. He went to Culinary Institute of America.
Wow.
I went to University of Maryland. I was an economics major. And I got into the food business by distribution. So I was working for a big distributor.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always in the back of kitchens because I was sort of a sales rep. And he was cooking. So That's how we met. He was trying to date his sales rep. And I said, no, I don't date customers. And he said, well, that's good. I'm not going to buy anything from you anyway.
Oh, there you go. See, I took care of that.
Right.
I think he had his priorities straight exactly. in that case.
And here we are 25 years later, wow. married and in business together 19 years.
So, yeah. So you've been in business together for 19 years.
Yeah.
And then now what kind of restaurants? Were you running a restaurant?
Yes. We have another restaurant just on the other side of town in front of the White House.
Wow.
So we got the Capitol here and the White House.
What's that one called?
It's called Equinox Restaurant.
Equinox.
Yes, not the gym. Hashtag not the gym.
And then, and what kind of, how would you describe the food at Equinox?
Mid-Atlantic, seasonal, regional. So we're very much of what's right. in and around the Chesapeake
Kinda
Bay.
Kind of local.
And, yep.
So
very
then
local.
All of a sudden, Middle Eastern. So how did this whole Museum of the Bible thing come together? Because I'm like, if I'm going to open a Museum of the Bible kind of restaurant,
it's
and I'm going to call it Manna,
right.
I'm not going to really go for the Chesapeake Bay motif.
Definitely not. Although there's a clam chowder up there now that sort of pulls in on that, because what he's doing here is definitely has a bit of an essence of the Mid-Atlantic, because yeah. he's a person very much married to the idea of small farm produced
yeah, local.
Products, local. So you can't help but to be, I mean, Mid-Atlantic tomatoes in August, you can't ignore yeah. those. So, but we also had a restaurant at the Corcoran Gallery of Art, which is how we met the folks at the Museum of the Bible.
Wow.
And they sort of sought us out. And I used to live in Israel in the 80s.
Did you really? What
I was,
for?
I was working on a kibbutz in the northern part.
Oh, interesting.
And then I moved down to a scuba diving boat in Eilat. So I worked down in the Red Sea. I used to sail to Sharm el-Sheikh.
Wow. So you're kind of like this hip gypsy thing going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. I have Romanian in my blood.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I had been to Israel. I lived there. I went back again. And I was between the sea and the mountains. And so I fell in love with that style of cuisine way back in the 80s. I went to the University of London as part of my program, School of Economics over there, part of my Maryland program.
Yeah.
So I loved it. And I loved, the food was like nothing I'd ever had before. You know, the oil, the olive oil, the avocados, the olives, and the United States in the 80s wasn't really there yet.
No, not at all.
We are now. But so I recently just got to go back with my husband and my son, to do some research for this project. But we've been involved in this project for 3 years.
So it's what, so once you get the call and you begin the conversation, was it just another, hey, this is another restaurateur opportunity for us, or the fact that this is like the only thing of its kind?
Well, when somebody sits down and asks you if you want to talk about the Museum of the Bible, that's definitely not your run-of-the-mill
right,
project.
Right.
It wasn't your typical art gallery.
Yeah.
You know, it was a head scratcher, like, what? Because there's nothing like this
nothing
in
like
the United
it.
States. So at first I was like, no way. You're crazy. What are you talking about? And then I heard more and more about the project and got to know the, you know, principals involved. And this was 3 years ago. Like I said, the building was under construction.
Yeah.
In fact, the first event we catered here was in April 3 years ago, and there was no roof.
Wow.
We used to have to come upstairs on the side of the building and one of those freight elevators.
Amazing.
Where it was all, and my staff was freaking out.
Because this was like a big refrigerator kind of building for us. It's a historic building.
It's a historic, yeah, it used to be a train station and then it became a design center.
Yeah.
So it's really big, as you know, a couple football field length.
430,000 square feet.
Yeah. And the first time we catered, there was no roof. And was like, oh, it's April. It'll be nice out, you know, of course.
In
D.C., no, nothing you can expect right. to happen.
Did
well.
It rain that day?
It did not rain, thankfully, but we were in hats and scarves up
yeah,
to here
super
and
cold.
All the cute little drinks that we were going to do, the strawberry lemonade with ice and everything, turned into a hot tea really fast. And we catered the first event down wow. where the lobby is now for 150 people. And we were literally walking over, you know, equipment.
Oh, yeah.
And
crazy.
Yeah. It was
and
crazy.
So fast forward 3 years.
Here we are.
How mind-boggling is it to...
It's so mind-boggling. It's crazy to see a building like this go up and be part of it. I feel like we're in the fabric of the walls. And actually, we are, because we signed a lot of them before they put the drywall
really? That's
up.
That's so cool.
So we signed the concrete, you know, stanchions, like
yeah.
writing things.
Was it a no-brainer from the get-go that it would be kind of Israeli-focused, Middle Eastern, have that feel to it?
I think it was not from the get-go. I think we thought about it a lot, what would be the best thing. And the Museum of the Bible, they were great. They were like, you know, what are you thinking? They definitely left a lot of the creative process
yeah,
up
yeah.
to us, what we were going to do. And then the more we thought about it and thought about, my husband and I just put out a cookbook 2 years before that called The New Jewish Table. And it's a story about a Jewish girl and a boy who's raised Catholic, became Episcopalian.
Wow.
Getting together.
Quite
and,
the mix.
And meeting, right? And he's from Fredericksburg, Virginia, and I'm from Washington, D.C., so he grew up on ham sandwiches.
Yeah, wow.
And Miracle Whip, and I grew up on pastrami and lox and bagels. And he had no idea what gefilte fish was. And so,
do you put capers on your lox and bagels?
Now, yes, definitely. And then he was curious about, you know, what's this whole gefilte fish thing? And he was curious from a culinary point of view, not necessarily a cultural point of view or a religious point of view. So he actually won my whole family over. He would take frequent trips to New York with my father to bond over deli.
Wow.
Jewish deli. White paper Sundays, we call them.
That's
just ripping open white paper
that's
and
awesome.
Out the pastrami.
So for you guys, having that kind of mixed faith background, being in a place like the Museum of the Bible, which I think is very respectful.
It's crazy.
Of you know, obviously the Torah and the Jewish Bible and the New Testament and that whole mix there. How has that affected you just being here, being around it and
think
seeing
of the
it and learning
song.
It?
Come together.
There you go. See?
That's what we want everybody to do. Just come together.
Had you ever been around an environment like this before?
At the Museum of the Bible? No, definitely not. I'm temple a lot I've been in. I don't know that there's anything like this. I know there was a mobile version of this in the Midwest.
Passages, but that was called.
Yeah, I never, no, this is incredibly mind-blowing and a crazy experience. And there is a great representation from the State of Israel on the fifth floor. I have a mode of which I take people through the museum when I tour my friends through. We always start in the beginning, the First Testament. And it was really terrific because finally getting my husband to Israel, as well as my son, who's 18. So I'm glad he got to go at a time when he could remember it. And we just had a blast. And, you know, we walked the stations of Christ and we saw so much in Jerusalem. But this was a culinary tour. So what they're doing in Israel, culinarily speaking, is mind-blowing, and it got his attention from the get-go, because otherwise he's bored.
And are you kind of factoring that into the Manna restaurant here?
Absolutely. 100%.
And how often does it change? Because we had the special today, which was awesome.
Well, there you go. There's a change.
And I knew, I was talking to Steve earlier, we both said we should get the chowder, and we didn't.
Oh,
we totally messed up.
No, well, that I have to bring you some. They might be putting it away right now. But
We're not picky.
We haven't been open, right? You have a microwave, right? We haven't been open. We've just been open 90 days.
Wow.
So that first, you know.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, live from Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. You have got to get up here. If you haven't come yet, I guess I'll forgive you. You can repent and get right with the Lord and then get up here. Museumofthebible.org is the website, and it is a good idea. Today, it's not as crowded, but some days it's crazy. We were talking to Ellen from the Manna restaurant earlier, and I had some friends up here from Raleigh. The Bentleys were up here in December. They had to wait an hour just to get there because it was so crazy. It's been crazy. So you can get your tickets, you know, kind of pick your days you're going to come. Definitely more than one day. One day is not enough. You're going to be drinking water from a fire hose too. I would suggest at least 2 days to come up here and take your time. But you can get your tickets in advance, kind of pick your day and your time and come in here. It's just mind boggling. I'm going to talk to my friends, Steve and Jeff, when we come back into the last segment of the show and talk some more about their reaction, because this is their first time at the Museum of the Bible. But this is my third time, except the first time it was still under construction. So it's so cool to see it. And every time I'm here, I'm seeing more things and getting exposed to more of what God's doing here at the museum. And one of the other things that's happening here that most people aren't even aware of is there is a full theater. They did Amazing Grace when Museum of the Bible first opened back in November. And then now a production called Concert of the Ages. Jared Mitchell is here. He's a worship leader, singer, songwriter, and also part of Concert of the Ages. And he's going to spend some time with us and get us up to date and see what's going on here at the museum. Jared, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, all right, you're from Illinois.
Yes.
What part?
Southern. So, southern tip of
Carbondale,
Illinois.
Carbondale, Effingham.
Yeah, about 30 minutes from Carbondale.
Way down there.
Yeah, down in the cornfields.
Which was, I told you, I went to college at the University of Illinois, and I learned how to fly when I was in college. And that's the greatest place in the world to learn how to fly, because all of southern Illinois is like a big piece of graph paper.
Right.
Everything's perfectly square. The roads are all square. And then when did you kind of get into music and worship leader and everything?
So I've been singing since I was real little. I started leading worship in church for kids church when I was little, around 12 years old.
Wow.
And then I started doing a lot of competitions in the area, around the area and things like that. And then I decided to pursue music at a collegiate level and went to Belmont University. That's when I moved to.
Oh, did you really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I moved to Nashville in 2013.
One of my best friend's son is at Belmont right now.
Okay.
And my sister-in-law's daughter, the Carso family, Camille's at Belmont right now, too. They love it.
Oh, man. It's a great experience that I had there. So it's a great community of just, it brings people from all over the world.
Yeah.
Nashville does, just because it's Music City. So not only being in the classes learning, but just everywhere you go, there was music. So that was really a big part of my growth in music was being there.
And then explain to us what Concert of the Ages is. It's going to be here for several months and, and what it is and how you got involved and what's your role.
Yeah. So the Concert of the Ages is a journey through the Bible using music. So it really brings the Bible to life for people who are coming to see the exhibits in the museum and then want to experience how the arts can bring the Bible to life. So it involves visual arts, and then it involves a lot of different music, very eclectic. So there's music that has Italian influence, Jewish, and then there's just contemporary Christian, some of that music as well. So it really... it caters to people of all faith traditions and lets them experience the Bible through music. I was made aware of the opportunity through Belmont and through someone I worked with.
Now, has this been in other places or is it original to the Museum of the Bible?
So this is brand new.
Wow.
So yeah, it has just been created and dreamed up. And so we're bringing that dream to life from our producer, Stan Mosier. Dick and Mel Tunney did the music. They're based in Nashville as well. And so this is all new for us. We were assembled in October of 2017, did some rehearsals. They brought 8 singers together. We sent in video auditions and then we did some rehearsing and then came here 3 weeks ago and started the show. So it's brand new, but the group has really gelled and people keep saying, wow, it seems like you guys have been together for years. Like this is like a seasoned concert, but we're like, no, we're brand new. But I feel like God really brought it together to create a great experience here at the museum.
That's such a great match for the museum. My buddies and I, we went to an Old Testament, you know, you kind of go from right in the beginning mm-hmm. in this whole interactive thing where it's kind of a light show and a sound show and you're going from room to room, taking you through the Old Testament. So with Concert of the Ages, does it kind of unpack the Bible chronologically or how does it work? Describe it for us.
Yeah, definitely. When they were creating the music for and picking the songs, they were definitely thinking chronologically. We definitely start kind of through the Old Testament and then make a switch into the New Testament kind of halfway through the show. So you do pick up that we're kind of moving through the Bible in that way.
And what's the audience reaction been like so far?
The audience reaction has been incredible. It's been great. Nothing but positive things that we've heard. Just people being moved to tears, people just being impacted in a great way. And I think it's made people, you know, want to experience the Bible more. So that's our hope, is that when people see the show and hear the truths and the promises of God through the Bible, that they want to go home and read more about that. And so I think that's really inspired people to, to really read the Bible more and just to bring that to life for them.
I was just wondering if people, do you find some people just start singing along or almost like it turns into a worship service?
I think that we are definitely open for that.
Yeah.
We're open for people to, you know, just however you express your faith. I think it's an open environment. We do have some people raising their hands.
Yeah.
We have people singing along. We have a couple songs that people will know from maybe Christian radio.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, they're singing along, they're hearing the words, and sometimes even the songs they don't know, they're picking up and singing at the end. They're clapping, they're laughing. It's an experience that has been great for all the people that we've experienced so far.
Now what? So for the people that maybe have seen about Museum of the Bible online or have been fortunate enough to be here, mm-hmm. describe for us that theater, because visually there's some things going on that you're not going to experience at any other theater,
right.
At a movie theater even, or other places, performing arts centers, because there's things going on in the ceilings and the walls, the side walls,
right.
That you're not used to. What's that like?
Right. It's an immersive experience. It's almost like you think of surround sound, but it brings surround sound and the visual surround. So it's really going on all around you when you're seeing the video mapping up on the wall. So it really makes you almost feel like you're in the moment. You're in that moment. So it really brings it to life in that way. And honestly, when I came to the museum, you know, you don't really know what to expect as far as the caliber of what the theater's going to be like. And I walked in, I was like, wow, this is world class. It's regal. It's classy. It's a great place to experience music. And it's not just a museum theater, you know, this is a world-class show that you should see.
And I think that's what people don't expect when they come here. And my buddies Steve and Jeff were saying earlier, you know, you think, well, it's just going to be another museum,
right?
But there's no museum like it.
No. And I talked to a lady who said she had been living in the D.C. era since the early 90s. And she's like, this is a huge deal. One, that the Museum of the Bible is here, you know, in the Capitol. But then even on another level, that there is a concert proclaiming the Bible in the museum. She's like, there's no other museums. You know, this town is full of museums, but there's no other museum that's doing that and using music in that way. So it's unique and definitely something that you should see while you're here.
Oh man, absolutely. We're talking to Jared Mitchell. He's with working at the Museum of the Bible with the concert of the Ages. It's at the theater. How many seats is the theater?
It's 472, I believe.
And so if you can go look at some of the video and stuff online at Museum of the Bible, and if you want to find out more about Concert of the Ages, that's just concertoftheages.com. But if you picture it, it's kind of like the wavy scrolls that are all up and down both walls on your right and on your left and across the ceiling.
Yeah.
And so they project out on the ceiling and the walls, plus you're looking at the stage.
Yeah.
So, like, what's getting projected out there?
Basically, it's creating scenes that go along with what you're seeing on the screen. So, it basically, like I said, make you feel like that you're there.
Yeah,
so,
you're in it.
Yeah, so if you're in maybe like in the desert, you're going to see, you know, surrounding you, you literally feel like you're in the desert, or you see animals or whatever, you know, the night sky, you'll see stars all around you. So it just brings it to another level visually.
Now, what's been your part of the museum? Favorite part?
My favorite part of the museum?
Not your part, unless your name is green and we just don't know that. Anyway.
No. So my favorite part that I've done so far, so the museum it takes a while to go through. So, you know, we've been trying to do like, you know, maybe one exhibit every few days when we're not in the concert. So, I went through the Old Testament and the New Testament, last week, and, I didn't really know what to expect, but I ended up, literally weeping, after the, New Testament, just in awe of just the presentation and, just cause I've been a person who's known the word my whole life. I've known the Bible, been taught the Bible. And sometimes it can, you know, become a little bit dormant in your life.
It becomes kind of academic,
right?
You pick it up, you study it like it's a textbook.
Yeah. But that experience through just bringing you through the Old Testament, New Testament, you walk through exhibits, there's lights, there's, you know, you do it. There's a video that, it just is like a huge screen in front of you. It just depicting all these things. So it just brought to my memory all of these stories that I've known for a long time, but I just think, oh, I know that story. So it just kind of lays there, but just bringing all that back to my memory. And even the stories I didn't remember, just seeing that, it really moved me. I was brought to tears and I was just in awe of what they've been able to put together here. And I think it's God's work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's God's work. And I know that it's impacting the world and it's only going to go up from here. It's only going to get greater.
Yeah. As more and more people experience it, then they go back and tell their friends. And then, you know, I'm going to be up here once a month doing my radio show here once a month, which is a huge blessing. Yeah. And it's just I tell people, the vast majority of us followers of Christ in America are never going to get to the Holy Land. It's just not going to be possible for most of us. And I told people the first time I came here, I'm like, I think this is as close to the Holy Land as you can get, just in terms of an experience and how it impacts your faith and your understanding of the word.
Yeah.
And really walking more closely.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, like even brought to tears. I think that's the reality of what's happening here.
Yeah.
It's been great having you on. It's so cool that you guys are doing this. And thanks for sharing with us today.
We would love to have you guys come and see our concert. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You can check that out at Museum of the Bible, museumofthebible.org, or you can go to the Concert of the Ages website, concertoftheages.com. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. When I was here back in May, was it May, Shannon?
It seems like 100 years ago, but time flies.
Oh, come on now. It seems like 100 years for you because you've been involved with the Museum of the Bible for how long now?
Almost 5 years.
So Shannon kind of facilitated all of this. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Shannon's work and her help. And this is a very busy woman. She's been buried in the Museum of the Bible literally for 5 years. That's why over Christmas when you had a vacation, I was like, go Shannon. Because I was so happy that you had a vacation because I knew this just had to consume your life for the last 5 years, hasn't it?
Well, it has. It's been a great adventure for sure, though, and, you know, really a legacy piece. So I can't complain at all.
And how did you end up here again? I'm trying to remember. Did you join me at all? Because the first show was in May.
Right.
And I was in the Nazareth exhibit. But yeah. I don't remember if you came in. Dr. Zeiss came in and some of the guys from the design firm. Like, who's the design firm that did Nazareth? This is whole, basically a recreation of first century Nazareth. It's an unbelievably immersive and beautiful. But what's the name of that company?
Jonathan Martin Creative out of Nashville.
Now, was it the actual founder, Jonathan Martin? Did he paint that whole vista of the Sea of Galilee and everything?
He sure did. He's a great artist.
Just incredible.
Just amazing work. Yeah.
So based on all the work over these last 5 years and all that you've been involved in, to actually see it open in November, what was that like for you?
Oh, it's like almost giving birth in a great way, because this is what you've nurtured for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's this new life that's coming to be in Washington, D.C. And to watch people for the first time walk in and see it complete, and you see the joy on their faces and just this atmosphere of happiness. It's really, it's life-changing. It really has been a life-changing thing for me.
I think it's been interesting to watch. It's almost this kind of 430,000 square foot encouragement or affirmation. It's interesting. How would you describe the impact that it's having on people? Because Jared here, who's with Concert of the Ages, was saying he walked through a display and it brought him to tears. And I think, you know, as a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, this is going to have a profound impact on you.
Well, sure. I mean, we all grow up in loving the Bible. If you grow up in a Bible-believing church or a Christian tradition, or if you're Jewish and you love the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible. But to realize the impact of this book outside of your own faith tradition, because we kind of get enclosed in our own little worlds, I think, in our own little way of looking things, but it's so much bigger than that. And this museum really brings that to the forefront in a way I don't think anyone else has ever done.
So what is your job like now? I mean, it's open, it's up and running, people are coming, it's crazy, but how has your job changed? Like, what are you doing on a weekly basis now?
Well, now we're learning to run the museum. So you have the child, then you take the child home and you take care of the child.
Now you're talking my language, yeah.
You don't sleep a lot, you know, lots of 2 a.m. type feedings. So, yeah, there's still not a lot of sleep. There's still a lot of work to be done, but it's a different kind of work. We're learning how to take care of this museum now. I handle all of the events that happen on site, or me and my team. Matt here handles all of our broadcast and production.
So did you meet John and Andy Irwin recently when they came? Because they did a screening of Imagine here.
They did, but actually I was out of town.
Oh, you missed it. You got to see it. They're good friends of mine, and we just did a screening in Raleigh, and actually the vice president was here and a bunch of members of Congress were here for that.
He was, and Vice President Pence has been here twice now.
Wow,
and Mrs.
So cool.
Pence has been here 3 times.
Do you think President Trump will come?
We hope so. We hope so. From what we hear, we have to shut the whole building down
for Secret Service,
but we would welcome that
That's
visit.
That's so cool. And just one final thing, just encouragement to people listening to us around the country to come to D.C. and come experience the Museum of the Bible. Why should they do that?
It will change your life. It will change your whole perspective on the Bible. And as you said, it's a huge encouragement.
Yeah.
It's just astounding.
Yeah, it certainly is. Shannon, it was great seeing you. Thanks for jumping. I know I just threw you under the bus and threw you on live radio, but I appreciate you being here. It's great seeing you.
Thanks,
Steve. You're welcome. Hey, all right, let me get these guys back. Jeff and Steve are going to come back over here, put their headsets on, and be a part of the game. Steve Lewis, you guys know him. We did Money Monday for a couple years together, and he still comes on occasionally. LNA Capital Advisors, and then Jeff Kelly works with Truth Radio, and he's a pastor in Raleigh as well. And this was their first time. And let me ask the most important question I can ask right now is, what do you guys think of this chowder?
Are you kidding me?
Ridiculously good, isn't it?
It's really good.
Oh, sorry. Now you are.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So you guys talk while
so
I
So you
eat.
Didn't think it was good, Steve?
It was fantastic.
Oh, I thought you said no.
I mean, just incredible.
Yes.
But see, now this is really cool. So
it's fantastic.
So Ellen, Jewish, right?
Yeah.
And she occasionally goes to temple, she said. She's involved. So it's so cool to me that you've got a lot of different types of people coming here. And there have been some people have complained and said, well, it's not like really obviously evangelistic, present the gospel, ask people to make a decision to follow Christ.
It doesn't need to be.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, because of the doctrinal variances. There's a lot of them out there. And it's more educational. But how can you not see the providence of God through the creation of the text anyway?
Yeah, I think they let the Bible speak for itself. I think it's clear, if you track from the Old Testament to the New, that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And I think that's clearly shown.
Well, did you notice, I don't know why Steve didn't go through the Old Testament kind of immersive video. That takes about 30 minutes.
I did.
Did you come through that after us? Now, did you guys notice when he's talking about the whole time, there's this whole thread that runs through that whole display. Yeah. So it starts right at the beginning of Genesis, let there be light, and then you go to the flood, and you're into Abraham, and then you're coming all the way through the Old Testament. But it was obvious because they kept talking about this separation and the story of God's people who are now separated from him, trying to be reunited and brought back home. And to me, that's the pre-evangelism of the Old Testament. Yeah. To me, that was really obvious. Yeah. What did you guys think of that?
Yeah. I mean, it was clear. I think they did a great job mixing or weaving that thread through the Old and New Testament. And if you were sitting through that display and going through it, clearly you saw Christ as the solution to the sin problem and bringing everything back to restoration.
Yeah, and you have the Orthodox Jew who very much will ascribe to the Old Testament as inspired, but not the New.
But it's right next door.
It's right next door, and they put it in a common thread where it starts. It's just as valid then.
Because you walk out of the Old Testament display and experience, and right, what's waiting for you?
The New Testament.
Yeah, the New Testament.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we're sitting there going, yeah, that's the rest of the story over there. Yeah. That's the completion of the original story. Yeah.
It was a great blend.
It's
great
so
blend.
Cool. And now, what about just the overall quality of this place?
Well, so... I didn't say this before, but that the quality is incredible.
Don't worry about it.
But I would say this more than that. I almost broke down in tears at one point when they were showing during the ride, when they were showing all the scripture in all the different places, because it's just amazing how the footprint of scripture has shaped America. But I mean, it's just part of our culture.
Yeah, most people don't. Most people don't know that. Steve, you mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, as I say, if you want to remove the Christian heritage from this country, you got to nuke Washington D.C.
Yeah,
and that's not. I'm not talking
a lot of stone
hyperbole there. It's you'd literally have to nuke this place to get rid of the handprint of Scripture on this nation's history.
Right.
So what did that? What does it mean to you to be here? Just in terms of as a Christian, and we were talking to Jared earlier, and in you know, how immersive it is, and it kind of gives you a whole nother look into the Scriptures, another feel, if you will. But how would you guys describe it as you're both mature believers, you're very well schooled, you're committed followers of Christ? What impact is it having on you? And I know you guys will be back, and I hope you'll come back with me another time, but how would you describe its impact on you just today?
I think my impact would be on to enhance my prayer life with respects to the you could call it providential history, right?
Yeah.
On this nation. That was the intent. Whether the founders were evangelical or not, most of them weren't. But their principles were.
Yeah, I think, Steve, mine was a little bit different.
We hit a quiet spot, I'm ramming this awesome chowder into my mouth. That's a good sign.
We already ate ours.
In professional radio,
we just
for you to pick up right where Steve left off so that the host can eat.
You go ahead and eat. Because I tell you, I came away with a confident feeling. Like, it just doesn't build your faith, because your faith is solid, but your confidence and just... Yeah, we own this thing. We're Christians, you know?
Yeah, we
own it.
We're operating from victory.
Yeah.
We're not working towards it. We're operating out of it.
Let me ask a question. Yeah. I met a gentleman, I think his name is years ago, Marshall Foster. Did he put together the organization called the Mayflower?
I don't know.
It was an educational program, how he interwove America and its Christian here.
Yeah.
I think it's Marshall Foster. He spoke to us back in the late 80s. And
World History Institute, formerly the Mayflower Institute.
That's it. You should have him on.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up in terms of your prayer life, specifically for this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2, it's not a suggestion. It's a command that we're to pray for those in authority over us. And we know that God lifts up and he brings down nations and rulers. And yes, we've lost our way, but even a dead man isn't too far gone for the Lord. So I think sometimes for us as evangelical Christians, it's easy to throw our hands up and say, America's gone to hell in a handbasket. So I'm just going to disciple believers. I'm going to reach the lost, and I'm not going to worry so much about the land, except the scriptures calls us to worry about the land still, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I think this place reminds us of that. And what about what's right out there?
Capitol.
Four blocks away. What are we looking at?
Yeah, we're looking at the big old Capitol right
That's
there.
The dome of the Capitol building. So this is the premier biblical museum on the face of the planet. four blocks away from our nation's capital. And
how they got this real estate is incredible. I'm just incredible.
Just providentially, just amazing how it, because they looked in Dallas. Shannon, where all did they look? They looked in Dallas. Dallas, New York, and D.C., but only one of those places is
so
the nation's capital.
D.C.
Darn.
Yeah.
Darn, said Steve Lewis. Oh, I'm so sad that it's right here in the nation's capital. Anyway, we'll be back again next month in March. We've got one scheduled show here each month through the end of the year, so I'm excited to be back. Museum of the Bible, it's open. It's ready. You need to get here. It will absolutely impact you in so many different ways. And the Holy Spirit's going to deal with all of us differently as you walk through here. One thing I can guarantee you, you will be impacted. You will be encouraged. The Museum of the Bible is here and it's waiting for you. Museumofthebible.org, museumofthebible.org. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.